Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, wonderful sunshine and just, you know, I always like every day I get up and when I can look out my back door and there's that our little mountain there, you know, that I look at and the mountain that hides the sun during the winter at 3:30 in the afternoon, you know, that type of stuff. But in the summer, it's not so bad, right? But it just, it gives me such joy, you know, and peace to know that the living creator God is right there with me. You know, he doesn't abandon me. He's around me and he girds me up, and it's just such a joyful thing to understand. You know, last week we talked a little bit about Peter, you know, the Apostle Peter. He wrote this letter, and this letter was for an encouragement for us all. Also for exhortation or what would you say, strong advice, an earnest advice to help you walk in your faith with Christ, what it looks like to be a follower of Christ in all times. And those times back in the Roman Empire and these days in the Empire of the United States and of this world. So how are we supposed to live it? And he wrote this letter to encourage us and to show us a way. And then as Friday night, we had our life group, and I was just reminded, too, that, you know, we are letters of Jesus Christ. Your life is a letter. Whether you know him or not as your personal Lord and Savior, he is writing his story in your life. And whatever you're doing, people are reading that letter. And it could be a blessing, or it can be something that's really no significance, or it can be a curse. You know, but it depends how we walk with Christ, if we have Christ in our lives. And so this letter, as we continue on in this study about this, I just came up with the ultimate trophy because something I always think about, victory. And, you know, I think about, you know, Michael Phelps. If you ever think about an Olympic athlete, this guy is one of the greatest, okay, of all times. He was a swimmer. He rarely lost in the most, you know, the toughest times when you're against the best of the best of the best. He was the best. but it wasn't, he didn't just walk and just jump in a pool and just start swimming. It was, you know, constant training. Probably injuries, probably ups and downs of emotions going, you know, on highs and lows, probably sickness, issues going on in family, money, just lots of things in his life, probably coming into all that, those years and years and years of training, probably from a little kid, right? And you think about even like football is going on right now. You know, these guys are out there and they're getting pounded. You know, they're out there, you know, hitting one another and struggling. It's a fight. It's a battle on the field. And even before that, they have to have all these practices. And even without that, they got the injuries. They got sicknesses. They got issues with family. They got, you know, all these matters coming into their lives. You know, maybe a loved one just passed away. All these things. You know, maybe their heart got broken in one way or another. And they say, well, why do you do this? Why does an Olympic athlete put himself through this? Why does a football player put him through such a an arduous life, a livelihood? Why would they do that? And then I said, well, because of this. They want to raise that trophy. You know, they, you know, Michael Phelps, he wants to have that gold around his neck, going, look what I did, and receive that, you know, that joy, inexpressible joy of knowing that you're the best, and people's praising you, and all, you know, everybody going wild, and all that stuff, all the fame, and football players, same thing, they want to lift that Lombardi trophy up high, you know, and he's going, I'm the champ, and I go, yeah, that drives you, that can be a great motivator, but there's one issue, it's temporary, because Michael has to get back in that pool another time and see if he can win another one. He might not. Or that football team, you know, they won the Super Bowl that year. Next year, they might not even get into the playoffs. But there is something that we have as followers of Christ. We have an ultimate trophy that is eternal. And, you know, we talk about our faith and we just go, well, what is it? You know, the faith that we have, the goal of our faith, as it says here, the goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Salvation of our souls. And that souls isn't just a spirit. For the Jewish people, that word souls means the whole body, because we get a whole new body, a resurrected body, a whole new thing going on with us. It's powerful. So Peter's writing to us today and saying, hey, do you want this? And we're going, well, yeah, how do we get it? So we're going to be going over that with one another in these next verses here. Let's pray before we go on. Lord God, we come before you with praise and thanksgiving, because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're the one that invites us into your kingdom. Actually, you're the one who pursues us. And we just thank you for your word. It's a living word. It's a miraculous word that you've used so many people to write it, because you inspired them to write it by the power of your Spirit. And these words are there for us to be encouraged and to remind us and teach us anew, to motivate us to move forward in our walk with you and what that looks like. So, Lord, I pray that you just open up our hearts and minds to these truths, to guide us, to remind us in our day-to-day walk, so we can be letters that you're writing upon our lives and our hearts, that will really impact the people around us in a positive way, a way that will change their lives for eternity in a good way. So bless this time, bless these words, and may you receive all the honor and glory in it all. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So as we read this, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." See, first thing, if we want to receive this goal of our faith, first of all, we have to even receive it, right? He is the giver. If you haven't noticed, you know, in your life, if you are a follower of Christ, you know, you can look it back and you're saying, well, when did I ever pursue God? And there might have been some instances in your life, maybe people speaking to you, or you heard something, you saw something going on in your heart, or something that will move you. But God is the one that pursues. And God is the one who actually gives. He gives that gracious gift to us of faith. Not that we earned it. Not that we deserve it. There's not one person on this planet Earth or throughout the history of it that has ever deserved the grace of God and that merciful gift that he has given us. Nobody is good enough, if you read it in Romans. Nobody seeks God. Nobody even cares to know him. We're enemies of God, if you look in Ephesians. Our whole lives, our whole nature turns against God. We are like Adam and Eve, what we saw this morning. We want it our way. Burger King, right? We want it our way. Not that way. It's not comfortable. Not the way I like it. I have the best way. But God, by his grace, his mercy, it says his great mercy. And so, and that, and just a recognition of that, you know, there's at the beginning, it says praise. Praise this awesome God that we have. Praise him for his mercy and grace. You know, praise and thanksgiving is the healing balm of our souls. You know, when we're all cluttered up with, you know, this and that coming after us, and you know, all these concerns in our lives and things just pushing at us, all the noise going on around us and all that stuff, you know, when we just put it aside and just remember who God is in our lives, or who he'd like to be in our lives. And just fill our hearts with that praise. Remember, we were talking a few months or a couple months ago about, you know, how Jesus is the Lion of Judah, you know, and that Judah is praise. You know, you can hear the roar of his praise unto his Father. You know, we are to be those type of people who roar like a lion with praise and thanksgiving unto him. And it should be endless. Day to day, moment to moment. And that will help us focus in on really who we belong to and where we are, you know, with God. And this world and all this noise and all the stuff that pushes on us and all the concerns starts to get, you know, put in order in a way it should be and given to Christ. Because when we need help, where does it come from, right? They say, well, you got to look up. Well, we got mountains here. What happens if you're a desert? No mountains. You still look up. And you call on the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who comes to help us. He's the merciful Father who comes and he gives us his gracious gift. I don't know if you ever had somebody give you a ticket or money to buy a ticket to a show or you know, some type of sports game or something like that. You know, it feels good, doesn't it? Somebody just, you know, you didn't, I don't know, somebody just, hey, here you go. You go, well, you know, what did I do to receive this? You know, is this kind of like, you go, usually you say, thank you. Thank you. And if it was really a good game or a show, you're going, oh, yeah. And then you really say, thank you, you know. That's one way we can react. Just given that ticket, you know, God gives us that blessing. And we are chosen. You remember those three ingredients that being chosen was one of them. God chooses us. His mercy will be on whom he will choose. And so if you are a follower of Christ today, you should be going, wow, how did that happen? But then you should be going, oh, thank you, Father, for giving me out of your mercy, by your grace, you have given me new life, a whole new start. All that old stuff can just fall away. All that sin, stuff that is erased from our lives. He's the only one that has the authority to take all of our sins and to toss them away as far as the east is from the west. He's the only one. And it's by his grace that is done. Forgiveness is in Christ alone. Chosen, blessed to be a blessing. Here in this scripture here, Ephesians, I'm going to have you read that for me. Can you read that 1, 2, 3? Yeah, it's pretty true. That's a truth. That's a truth. It takes an open heart. It takes a miracle, a mystery of God between our hearts and his hearts. But I believe that when we start getting soft before him, he knows. And as in John 3, as they're talking about that wind that comes and goes, you don't know. You can feel it. You might hear it, but you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working in each person's life. And when he lands on us with an open heart and he comes in, then there's something new going to happen there. That's that merciful, that great mercy of God that saves us, that gives us new life, a new start. Everything is started again, like you've been born again. That's why they say, have you been born again? Well, yes, but not by physical nature, but by God's grace, his Spirit alone. Born again to live a new life and a living hope. And this living hope isn't our hope. This living hope is from our resurrected Christ. He died for us, but he's not dead anymore. He rose again 3 days after that, and he's alive, and he's moving, and he is empowering people, and he is changing lives, and people are being saved because of his grace alone. It's powerful. He moves. You know, Peter's just saying, hey, you know, come on, guys. Come on. Come on. I know this is hard to get up day after day and want to follow me. Follow Christ. It is so difficult because it's so against our nature. Because I want to go my own way. I got my own agenda. Your agenda just isn't fitting with mine today, God. He's saying, hey, come on, guys, come on, come on, come on. He's going, come on. Look, he's given you this. A new life by his grace, his wonderful mercy. Don't blow it. Don't fumble the ball. But even if you do, he still remains the same. Faithful forever. Always we can run to him just like the prodigal son, and he will open up his arms and receive us and embrace us and give us a kiss and restore us. It's powerful, isn't it? So this living hope, that's what we got. That's the living hope. It's Christ. What do we have to fear anymore? Don't have to fear death anymore. It's just another step to be with God. We don't have to fear anything in this world. Finances, sickness, family problems, studying hard subjects, health issues. We don't have to give in. We have this living hope that says, that moves us on, moves us forward as he's writing upon our hearts to bless. Because we've already received a blessing, so now we can bless others. It's like somebody gave us billions of dollars, and it just keeps on going. We can't go, well, I'm going to give you some, I'm going to give you some, I'm going to give you some, and it just keeps on coming. Because you've already been blessed. Now you can just give it out. This living hope is precious and wonderful. Christ was dead, but now he's alive. And what is hope? It's a future expectation, right? I mean, Romans says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have, right? You go on Christmas Day and I hope I got that toy. Or I hope I got that adult toy. You open up that present and there it is. You know, you got it. You don't have to hope for it anymore. It's there, right? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. And now Peter's saying, come on, come on. Be patient with this. It's real and it's there. Just like that ticket. Somebody gave you that ticket to go to that Dallas Cowboy game. I'm not going to say any more words about that. But and, you know, they give you that ticket, and you're going, oh, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then they say, well, you have to pick it up. You know, where is it? He said, well, pick it up at will call. Now, it depends where you're from. If you're from Texas, they go, will call. And you're going to go, well, what's will call? But if you have them write it down, it says will call. So you got to go there. So it's the ticket. So you're driving there and say, is the ticket going to be there? Is it going to be there? Because I put my money out, you know, $400 or $500 or whatever for that seat. Is it going to be there? That living hope, you know, that expectation, your future hope, is it going to be there? Well, Christ is saying, yes. Yes. It is there, because as you read on here, listen to this. Our living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So there's a guarantee with that. It's kind of like somebody saying, "Yeah, here's the, you pay me the money and I'll give you the tickets at will call, but here's a guarantee. You know, they send you a receipt so you can get your money back if it isn't there." You know, he has it for us. It's waiting for us. It's a guarantee by God himself, the creator of the universe. And, you know, I was looking at, oops, did I miss something here? I need to go back here for a second here. Oops, yep, that was it. As I was looking here, and you're looking at the inheritance, well, people are saying, well, what is this inheritance? Well, it describes it pretty well here. You know, first of all, it doesn't perish. So it doesn't get damaged. It doesn't just, you know, dissolve in front of you like a, you know, sometimes if you set a piece of fruit out or out there, and after a week or two or something like that, it just kind of goes, you know, it's gone. You know, it doesn't do that. All right, it doesn't perish. It doesn't spoil like things, you know, a sin in the world tends to spoil our lives, right? You know, things like that, stains, our lives get stained of sin and all that spoils everything, all the corruption and all that stuff around us. And we're not living the way it should be. This is not the way God created this universe, all right? He created it perfect at first. We're the ones that decided to go our way. And now we're in this corruption. And we're waiting for this hope. We're waiting for Christ to come back to set everything else right again. So it doesn't perish, spoil, it doesn't fade. It doesn't lose its brilliance of glory because it is Christ. It is Christ's gift. That inheritance will never fade away. And it will never go into oblivion. And then Alistair Begg, as I was listening to him, I like what he said. He says, we have an inheritance that is untouched by death, unstained by evil, and unimpaired by time. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful inheritance. So we're born, you know, we're given new life into a living hope, and he's given us this inheritance that is eternal and beyond our imagination of what the riches are. It's a pretty encouraging letter, isn't it? So far, yeah? I mean, it certainly is given. You ever see that, you know, the carrot dangling in front of the horse or the donkey or something like that? You know how donkeys can be very stubborn, but they put that carrot up there and they're carrying a heavy load to keep it moving. They'll keep that carrot there. And once in a while, it might get a little bite as it gets it rocking back and forth a little bit. You know, it might take a little nip. That just keeps it going, all right? It just keeps it going forward. And that's what we need. That's what Peter's doing for us, saying, I know you're going through some difficult times, but there's that carrot. Just keep on nipping at it. Keep on moving forward, because there's an inheritance for you, a great inheritance, this living hope that you live in. And then, yes, in this world, we will have troubles, yes. We can't escape it one way or another. We will have troubles. Grief upon grief sometimes. Some people are grieved. They go through troubles from birth on. Like Nick Vujicic, who was born without legs and arms. He didn't think that he had any purpose in this world. He had wonderful godly parents who loved him and really was behind him. But he was ready to commit suicide one day because, you know, he's growing up now. He's getting teen in his teen years. And, you know, when you get to teen years, things really start getting, you know, crazy, right? And he says, well, what am I doing here? What am I worth? Nothing. I'm going to end it. But then before he was just going to end it, drowning himself in that bathtub, he thought about his parents and what it would do to them. And so he stopped. And then he started something, I don't know, God's grace, his mercy, he gave him at that time. And he started thinking, well, what can I do? And he started speaking, talking to his friends at school. And he noticed that they had troubles too. They had a lot of issues going on in their lives, maybe not different from his, but they still had issues, and they would talk to him, and he would talk to them, and he would start encouraging them, and they were listening to him, and he noticed that he had something to give. And now he's going all over the world encouraging people about this living hope that we have in Christ, all over the world. And he's married, and he has kids. Blessed hope. Wonderful. So all types of trials here. It says, in all this you greatly rejoiced, that now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We're going to go through it one way or another. You can't run from it. And some people are going to go through it a lot harder than others. But you know what? One thing that comforts me is this. This little while, sometimes it might be a lifetime of somebody, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, whatever. But you know what? It comes to an end. And if you are true to the Lord by His grace and mercy alone, because He one supports us through that, we have this inheritance that's greater than anything this world could ever offer us. Ever. So he says, yeah, you're going to go through that grief, but it's going to refine you. It's going to refine you. Don't run from it. So not only so, but we are also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. That's what it is. So we got to keep on going because we know there's something better. Abraham knew, you know, God, and he trusted and he had faith with him. Even though he didn't have any land of his own, he didn't yet have that child that he promised him. But he says, yes, I believe you, Father. Even though he was wandering, suffering. You know, joy and suffering can go together as well. Did you know that? And joy is not happiness. It's not depend on the world. Joy is when our relationship now, living hope in Christ, because we know what we got. We know that it's guaranteed what He's given us and what He has guaranteed us. And we know when God guarantees something, He is faithful to His promise 100%. So we move forward through those grief, through that grief, through those sufferings, whatever it is. And we have that joy, you know, that carrot that we take a nip out of. You know, oh, it tastes so good, I want more. It drives us forth. Just like the athlete, the Olympic athlete, whatever, you know, through pain, he's injured, he has to sit out a season. But he carries forth because he knows he wants to lift that trophy at the end. And he's determined. And we have to have that same determination. That's what Peter's saying. Determine yourself. Get after it. One step at a time. Day after day. Know that Christ has this for you. And your life is changing. And your letter is becoming brighter and brighter. And people are able to read it more clearer. And their lives, they're going, whoa, What do you got going on? And they talk about the, you know, when I talk about this part here, about this may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This is our faith. Who's being praised? Well, one thing I think the, you know, we're all going, yeah, you know, everybody's, you know, you reach that ultimate trophy. You got your goal of your faith, your salvation of your souls, and you're there. And there's praise. You're just praising. You know who you're praising? You're praising Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Christ, you wouldn't be there. And you notice all the different shapes and sizes of trophies in that trophy case? That's us. All kinds of people. All types of letters out there. All types of victories. Remember that scripture we read in Romans 8? You know, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors in Christ. Because of all this. And then I believe that he puts our faith, he puts us on in his trophy case. This is his honor to carry us all this time and see us there with him. It's his trophy case, and we are in it. It is his joy to see us there, that inexpressible joy of seeing us going through all this grief, just like he did in his life when he lived on the earth, right? Lots of grief and sorrow. All the way to the end, to the cross. But he also had a joy in it because he knew what the outcome was. Victory for all who follow him. Victory in Christ. The most beautiful, wonderful inheritance that we can ever have is ours. It's waiting. It's not only guaranteed, but it's guarded. Because back here, it talks about, you know, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, but listen to this, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Not only does it guarantee your ticket to heaven or to that Dallas Cowboy game, but he's guarding it himself for us, for the faithful, the people who are willing to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you no matter what I go through. See, there's a family, a Vietnamese family in a time, I think probably, I'm not sure, it might be in the 1990s or whatever, but there's persecution of the church in Vietnam in those days, and it might still be happening today. And they ran from the country to escape, and they went to China. But the Chinese, they don't like Christians either, so they put them in a refugee camp and they treated them poorly. And somehow they were able to escape out of that into Hong Kong, who also put them in a refugee camp. In these little box, hot, and hardly any food. Food that rotted, rice that was hard or kind of like mush. They were followers of Christ. They're seeking freedom, physical freedom, and spiritual freedom just to be able to worship him with others. And whoever's writing this article, you know, they found out, you know, what's going on? You know, what? Why did they keep going? Why don't they just give up? Why don't they just die? Better to die than to face that suffering. Or better just to renounce your faith and so you can go back to your homeland. So what drove them forth? Well, they saw this scripture that this lady wrote. Lamentations. Can you believe that? Lamentations? Something good in Lamentations? This is the broken heart of Jeremiah when his whole nation was being blown apart by the Babylonians. He was dying out there, crying for his people. But listen to these words. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That was written. That's what was driving her husband and her kids to stand firm. See, Peter's saying, stand firm. There's something wonderful for you. Just stand firm. Trust in me. I'm refining you for this. I'm refining you, maybe not for your own good, but it usually turns out for your own good. You might not like it. It's uncomfortable and it's hard. But there's a purpose in it. That'll impact your life, but it's going to impact the lives of the people around you. When they hear your story, they see that letter that Christ is writing on your life. Nobody can refute it. Nobody can deny it. They see it right there. I don't know where this family is today. You know, I'd like to have a follow-up on that. But no matter where they are, I know that their inheritance is in heaven. You know, it is given to them. It's guaranteed. And it's guarded and waiting for them until Christ comes when he is revealed. You know, and it comes on here. So, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. May we walk in that. For we are receiving the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. You got the trophy. You can raise it up high. You got the gold. Not even gold can compare to this inheritance. Because gold goes away. It spoils. It fades as time goes on. But this inheritance doesn't. So may we stand firm. May we open our hearts and allow God to work his wonders in our lives. To push away, to shut down the noise in our lives that caused us to be so busy with everything and our phones beeping and always looking and all that stuff. You know, the challenge this week is take 10, 15 minutes of quiet without any devices, without any music, without any pictures. Be quiet before God. Just like what that lady is doing, that Vietnamese lady with her family in that little box in Hong Kong, waiting for your salvation. And take that time to reflect. And take that time to ask him about the letter that he's writing upon your heart. And take time to praise and thank him for the grace, his great mercy he has shown to us. And if we have not received him as a personal Lord and Savior yet, open your heart. Open your heart. And let the King of Glory come in, the hope of glory, come into your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you for the encouragement, the strong advice. Oh, Lord, Father, may we stand firm. And Lord, those of us who have not yet known you as Lord and Savior, Father, open our hearts anew. Even those of who are following you right now, who say, yes, you are my Lord and Savior, may you open our hearts and fill us with your Holy Spirit till we are where we are living in a new way, a new birth, a new life, a living hope, knowing that everything is right there for us, just waiting for us. All we have to do is persevere, because now it's not about us, it's about you and how you are writing your letter in our lives, just like Peter wrote that letter to us even today, that we can use as letters that you are writing, these Christ letters, that we can bless our families, our friends, our community, our co-workers, our classmates, our all the people around us and beyond, even to the ends of the earth. We don't need anything anymore. We got it. If we are following you, we got it. Empower us to take this good news out to others and to pray and with perseverance for those people and look for opportunities to share our stories with them as we listen to their stories. And in that, Lord, we're going to see many more people be set free from the deception of the enemy and the noisiness of this world, and that they can receive Christ and receive this precious inheritance and live a new life, not for themselves, but for you forevermore. Bless us, Father. Bless us to be a blessing. I pray, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name, and all those people say, amen. Amen.